Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the internet. And this is your host, Allison, and I thank you for tuning in tonight. And I hope that everyone is doing well. I'm not really sure if many of you know, but I live in the southeastern Pennsylvania area where we're just absolutely buried in snow. And I got to tell you that I'm totally jealous of my guest tonight, who's coming to us from sunny L.A. But before I get to my guest tonight, I do have one special announcement. On February the 21st from 2 to 4:30, I'll be in the Doylestown, PA area holding a seminar on recognizing, developing, and controlling your psychic abilities for Susan Duvall Seminars. So if you happen to live in the Southeast PA or even the New Jersey area and you're interested in attending, please visit www.SusanDuvallSeminars.com for more info. And I'm also going to be doing a day of live in-person readings in the Doylestown area on Sunday, March 14th. So if you're interested in getting a numerology reading, also contact Susan at SusanDuvallSeminars.com. And that information is also on my show info pages, so you can just go there and get her phone number from there. Okay, business is done, and now to our guest this evening, Andy Brewer. He's called the Rock and Roll Psychic, and he's a nationally televised clairvoyant and astrologer. He's the host of Rock and Roll Psychic Radio, heard on Blog Talk Radio. He has over 100 appearances to his credit on radio and TV, perhaps most notably the featured psychic and co-host, along with Eric Estrada and Jenna Lee Harrison of Cabrina's Psychic Answer, which aired throughout the United States and Canada from 1992 to 1994. You know, Andy is just a multi-talented guy. I mean, it's you know, you're an astrologer, you're clairvoyant, but he also just recently created Karma, which is a past lives divination deck. He also created another deck called The Tarot of the Hungarian Shadows. He's the author of 3 books. He is just multi-dimensional. His website is rockandrollpsychic.com. Let me spell that for you. It's R-O-C-K with an N in the middle, R-O-L-L, psychic.com. So while you're listening to the show, you know, I'm advising you to jump on over there and give his website a look over. It's really a fabulous website. You're going to love it. A lot of great information there. And again, that's rockandrollpsychic.com, because right now I'm going to welcome my friend Andy to the show. Hi, Andy. How you doing?
I'm fine, Allison. Good evening. How are you?
Thank you
for that lovely introduction, too. And I would say the same thing about you. And I have, and I think that you are fantastic. I love you.
I love you, too, Andy. I'm just really happy to have you on the show. And, you know, you're in L.A. doing a lot of cool things, a lot of different things in your life. How long have you been there?
I've been here since right about Thanksgiving. I actually started this tour. I started this tour in October, and I was in Ohio. I went to Wisconsin. I was there about a week. I went to Denver for about a week. I went to the San Francisco Bay Area for a couple of weeks. And then I came down here right at the end of November, and I've been here since the end of November. You know, it's ironic that we did these prediction shows, and I predicted the thing that I said was kind of on the horizon was all this tremendous cold weather and snow happening in the Midwest and on the eastern seaboard. And what was your prediction about?
I also, my big prediction was about earthquakes, but
earthquakes.
Pretty much,
I mean, it's ironic that I'm in L.A. and you're in Pennsylvania, so, I mean, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, you predicted my snow, and I'm not predicting anything for you. Let's just put it that way. That wouldn't be good.
But, you know, I've done a lot of fun things here in Los Angeles. You know, Los Angeles has a very interesting energy, and I'm staying with some friends of mine. I'm staying with a friend of mine here in a place where they film make a lot of movies right around the corner from me. You know, it's kind of a fun place. I did a big benefit last week. I'm actually going to be in a movie as an actor which is kind of fun, next month. And so Los Angeles, I'm not sure how long I will be in Los Angeles, but Los Angeles has its own very unique energy, very haunted kind of energy, as you can imagine. A lot of people coming here, you know, a lot of dreams come to die, I think, in L.A., and it has a very unique kind of vibe to it.
Yeah. Well, I think you've been particularly creative there, because it's since you went to L.A. that you actually kind of put the books together. And I got to tell you, you know, and I mean, I own a couple of tarot decks, but it's really not my forte. I think they were actually given to me as gifts. But I tell you, this Karma Past Lives Divination deck that you just recently did, and I got to tell you, people, once again, go to the website rockandrollpsychic.com, because the pictures are, you know, tell 1,000 words. But this is something that absolutely fascinates me, this divination deck that you did. So you've been tremendously creative. So there must be, I mean, besides the haunted part of L.A., there's got to be some creative energy there as well.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I've done television shows in Los Angeles, and I've done a lot of media-related things. And what little time I've been in L.A., this is the longest I've ever been in Los Angeles at any one time. And, and I, astrologically, you know, I use astrology, too, for this thing called astrocartography, and you can see where certain areas are sort of more viable than others. And Los Angeles is really kind of a good place for me.
All right.
So I've done a lot of interesting things. But the deck, you know, I wanted to do this a regular tarot deck on, and I've developed these spreads for past lives. I use astrology too, kind of gives you an indication. I personally do believe that past lives exist. I mean, that can't be proved, it's somewhat subjective, but I really do think that they exist. And on top of that, I think that they serve as a subtext of many of the choices and decisions that we make in this particular life.
I agree.
So I wanted to do something that was evocative of those types of memories and patterns, and with using a very specific tool that other people could use more easily, and I thought tarot decks would work.
Mm-hmm.
But I went beyond that. I actually came up with this idea for the Karma deck, and I think it has its own kind of associations. And I tried to make it, I wrote this book called The Metaphoric Mirror. And in the Metaphoric Mirror, I tried to really outline and kind of use my language in a certain rhythmic way that replicated kind of yogic breathing. I tried to kind of base it on the stages of alchemy. I wanted it to be really an initiatory type of book for people to get into a certain mindset. I think there's a psychological and physical state that you get into to really kind of open up to your clairvoyant skills, to that intuitive part within you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted the picture and the word associations that I came up with within these decks to also have certain kinds of triggers, cognitive triggers. So there's a kind of a code built into it. I mean, there's a method to my madness.
You are mad.
But I really do like this particular deck. And the people who have seen it have really kind of vibed with it. So I'm very happy about that.
Right.
It's brand spanking new. I mean, it's brand new. It's only a week
old. Yeah, I know. It's just recent, but that one just... Well, it's not that everything that you do, because, I mean, I read The Metaphoric Mirror, and I have to say that you're an extraordinary writer, and you have some serious writing skills. So I think that there's a lot of books in you, besides the ones that you've written. And everything you seem to do is just incredibly inspired to me. I'm just in awe of it. I'm like, wow. But I really want to take
you,
I want to take you back, if you don't mind, if I could.
Absolutely.
Because we know
of course, where
you are, but I'm kind of interested in when I speak to psychics and mediums and people, I always want to know, well, when did this all begin for you? How old were you? What happened? How did you, I mean, was there support around you during that time? I mean, kind of take us back to maybe the beginning of the rock and roll psychic.
Well, I mean, you know, I was born in a time and in a place in 1955 in Ohio when, you know, you couldn't just go to Barnes & Noble and buy 50 different books on metaphysics. It was very, you know, it was a kind of a taboo subject. It was something that there wasn't a lot of access to. And so when I was a teenager, especially when I went off to college, when I was around 18 or 19 years old, I would see things and they would happen. I mean, they would happen later. And I had what I thought at the time were kind of deja vu types of experiences. And looking back, I mean, they were clairvoyant experiences. I was seeing this imagery in my head and having no real frame of reference to make sense of it.
Right.
And so I went through kind of a confusing period. And, you know, I was the kind of the little boy jock fraternity boy. I was not what you would consider the, you know, it didn't seem to really fit my personality or what I envisioned my life to be. When I was 22, my father died, and that, you know, I inherited money, and I really wanted to figure this out. So in 1978, when I was 23, I lived in Louisville, Kentucky, and I was really struggling to understand it, really struggling to understand it. And so I went to California in 1979, and I took a class on past life regression when I was 24 years old, and it was like immediate. So that evening, after I took this class, I went home and I could regress myself. And within weeks, I mean, I was like going into tremendously deep trance states. So I guess I was in some sense like a prodigy.
Right.
So that was when I was 24. Well, for the next few years, I really, really, really worked at it. I was still very confused by it. So I spent, you know, hours each day, almost every day, doing meditations, regressions, and I read and read and read. And so, you know, it's been like 30 years, and it kind of comes and goes in terms of my sort of immersion in this process. I mean, I don't think you can just go flat out 30 years in a row without taking some time to kind of change gears. But for me, it happened late in my teens, and I was, you know, kind of as a child, a very intelligent child. I had like a genius IQ.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you.
But because of that, I was also kind of a strange little child too, you know. So I was a math prodigy, and you know, I had my own kind of thing. So, so ultimately, I spent most of my 20s really trying to prepare for it. In my 30s, then I was a professional and got a lot of attention. But when I was 37, then I just quit completely and said I would never do it again. I said there was no amount of money. There's no amount of television, there's no amount of anything that will ever make me be a psychic again. And I had a child, my daughter was just a toddler. I thought it would be easier for her to have like a quote-unquote normal father as opposed to having like a TV psychic father.
Right.
But then when I was 51, 4 years ago, I had a child that was stillborn. And that started a kind of a chain of events that took me away from my corporate career. Because I did sort of build a corporate, a fairly successful corporate career in the middle there, which is another story. And then I became much more thrown back on myself. I went through a real strong, I went through a period really being depressed. And I went through a period of grieving, really kind of a shamanic kind of, and I always call it the shamanic Roto-Rooter. But I went through a very kind of a dark time. But, you know, the irony is that really opened me up to doing this kind of work again after I had left it.
Sure. That's a quick version. I know it's kind of hard to sum it up in just a few minutes. I always so really from the very beginning, you literally what you tapped into was some clairvoyant tendencies, and then got into the past life regression, which probably strengthened, I would imagine, what abilities that you had. And without a doubt, you know, your creativity is amazing to me. Your intelligence, I can see the genius aspects of you. Sometimes you get to going, Andy, and you can see those words just flying over my head. Sometimes I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? But it's just like your mind just goes to places and you really are brilliant. And sometimes that's a blessing, and sometimes that in itself can be a curse, to be as smart as you are. But, you know, the books and the things that you do, really, it's just, I think, genius, actually. I really do.
Well, thank you very much.
And I admire that. Now, when you do readings for people, okay, like when you're offering your services, you do past life regressions, but you also do different types of readings. So just for a moment, you know, where's your forte? What is your focus on readings? What is it that you, when you tap into that, when you read for people, what kind of information do you give them?
Well, I mean, the thing that gets the most attention is the work I do in what's called remote viewing, which is I try to see different places. And when I really kind of hit it, and you can't do this all the time, but when I'm really kind of locked into it, then that gets the most, you know, kind of bang for the buck. But But I don't think of that as really my skill. I think of it as kind of my street cred. Mm-hmm. What I think is important is that you look at people from where they are, mm-hmm. and you try to find those obstructions in their life that keep them from really optimizing their path. I mean,
sure.
When I first started working as a professional psychic, when I was in my early 30s, around 31, 32 years old,
mm-hmm.
what I would do back then was I would have people bring me baby pictures of themselves. This is back before the internet, when typically you would have clients that actually came to you more often than not. So they would bring me baby pictures, and I think that baby has kind of an optimal life laid out ahead of him or her.
Mm-hmm.
And the person
sure.
looking right at you has realized whatever life they've realized. And mm-hmm. there's a difference. Nobody really lives that perfect life. But I think the difference between the optimal life for that child and the life that we end up with, that's
mm-hmm.
our karma. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's really what I try to do is to understand obstructions in people's thinking and in their emotions, the emotional body, the etheric body,
sure.
to try to really give them a sense of optimism, I think. I mean, I think my job is not really to be psychic, but to help people strategically get back on track. Most people come to you and I in a state of crisis. Not everybody, but most people do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the bedside manner is very important. I think being kind and polite and encouraging, those things are critically important.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at those things as really being more significant than, than the remote viewing.
Sometimes that's difficult, though. You know, if somebody's in crisis, if somebody's very emotionally connected to whatever they're experiencing at that time in their life, and then they come to you for answers, and many times they want you to tell them that it isn't happening, or that, you know, they want you to tell them that it's going to be okay. They want you to tell them that, you know, with one reading you can fix it, but sometimes you can't fix it. Sometimes what you see and what you feel and what you're reading, you know, whether it's through the numbers or whether psychically or even through an astrology chart, sometimes, you know, this is in itself, it could be the karma, or it could be something playing out, you know, for this particular soul at this particular time in order for them to grow in consciousness and maybe even break the chains of, you know, their past repetitive things that they do or even the karma itself. So sometimes I think that, you know, it's really important to impart the love and the caring and the kindness into the reading, but sometimes you just can't tell people what they want to hear. I think that's sometimes the hardest thing for me, I think, is when you just got to call the shots like you see it, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I agree with everything that you're saying, and I don't, you know, I don't think that, you know, you can give information that may not be what people want to hear, but still say it in a way that's somewhat optimistic.
Sure.
You know, I think that
we look at
the things that happened in our past differently based on different vantage points based on our experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
So lots of times, I mean, I've always said that people come to psychics, I think in most psychics, but certainly I think to me, not to know the future, but really to ensure the future, in essence to make the future conform to what people want. Because typically people come and say, they have an idea in their head of what they want you to play back to them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get this job. I'm going to get the Ferrari's going to be in the driveway. You know, the girl's going to come and, you know, meet me and we're going to get married in the morning. I mean, you have this kind of, you know, again, fantasy world to some
mm-hmm.
extent.
Sure.
So I think
sure.
it's important to really look at the probability. I mean, I don't think that any psychic can say we definitively know anything. I mean,
always
say things are my opinion. And you and I think are really good about this in that, you know, we try to really ground what we do in kind of a strict kind of methodology to some extent. But we also, we bring the other person into it and we sort of are invested together.
Right, sure.
But I do think that most psychics read from where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of times I think, more kind of starter psychics or younger psychics, they tend to project their own issues sometimes onto the clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important that you transcend that tendency.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you have to be real. A good example of this is I kept saying that there were huge and very negative things happening in the future for the United States economy. I
mm-hmm.
might as well have said, I want to take puppies and babies and drop them off the cliff. I mean, that was kind of what the reaction was, right?
Yeah.
And so So what I would hear from people is, oh, you're being negative. I said, no, I'm not being negative. I'm giving you what I believe is going to happen. Based on my analysis, based on what I see, based on the way I add two and two together, this is what I believe is going to happen. And so, especially right between the time that when we, you know, like we do prediction shows every year, right? You and I have been on some together. And when I did a bunch right before President Obama was inaugurated, and I said, you know, I kind of brought people together in the metaphysical community who were professional readers, and I said, hey, here's the deal. The United States economy is going to have problems, and all these people have these expectations, and they're not going to happen. Corporate lobbyists and all these things are deterrents to really this perfect FDR utopian thing that people are dreaming of. Mm-hmm. That it's not going to happen. And so people go, oh, you're being negative. You need to think positively. And I go, okay, I'm positive that this is going to happen. So in that case, I mean, really, and I mean, I said that on air just like that, kind of in that attitude. Okay, I'm positive that the economy is going to get worse. I'm positive that unemployment is going to continue. I'm positive that commercial real estate is going to be a problem. I'm positive these things are going to happen.
Right.
And they happen. But, and so what people wanted to hear was that it was going to be okay. But I didn't feel that that vision that they had jived with what I felt was going to happen. Just like I would like to tell people in North Dakota in December that I thought it was going to be 40 degrees all winter, but I really thought it was going to be 40 below, you know, all winter.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be honest.
Sure.
In what
well, that's, yeah. Yeah. It's just like with, you know, I remember reading 2008 and saying what I felt about it, and I felt that there was a balancing act that was about to happen, and it was going to hit in the financial sector, and that any greed or any unethical behavior, it was going to come home to reap, and there was going to be some prices to be paid. And that's, I couldn't read it any other way, but if I was interpreting the numbers, that's what I felt. And you know, it's not about being negative, but maybe in some ways it's forewarning people to give them a little bit of a heads up so that maybe they can make some changes. Like, I've had quite a few people write me this year and say, what do you think about the stock market, Allison? You know, and I'm like, you've got all your money in the stock market, you're wanting me to tell you that it's going to be okay, but I'm sorry, I just can't do that right now. So, you know, sometimes that's hard. You know, as far as the earthquakes go, you know, I'm sorry, that jumped out at me. There was a lot of reasons why I said that. There was a lot of validations numerically why I said that. And I don't want to see it come to pass, and I'm not, like, thrilled that it came to pass, but that's what I saw. Now, I don't think that that's negative. I just think that that's just, sometimes you just call things like you see them, you know. And when it comes to predictions, there's no emotions attached, none. It's just, it is what it is.
I think that's so critical, just what you've said, because I know that you don't want there to be earthquakes.
No.
But your way of looking at things, and you were totally right. Of course, I mean, Haiti and all these things that have happened, and it's barely, you know, middle of February. So, I mean, we still have 10.5 months for that to happen. So, you know, the thing about, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with the work that you and I do, and I take it very seriously. I do take it very seriously, as I know you do as well. And I think we have to be conscious of what's around us so that we can try to find things to make it okay. That doesn't mean we make it Pollyannist or we change reality, because we don't have that power.
Right.
All we can do, I think the only real thing that we have as individuals is the power to say what something means to us. We can't change events. We can't make anything happen. I can't make them give me that job or you know, or anything like that. All I can do is do my best work and hope for the best. But
that's
my
it.
Reaction to what happens, that's something within my control, and I think that really is the spiritual core of who we are.
Right.
In my own kind of spiritual sense, that's why we're here. And I'm not one of those people that thinks that we have free will to do whatever we want. I made too many predictions for things happening on specific days.
Right.
Well in advance through astrology to go, wow, I said it was going to happen on this day, and it did. So did anybody have any free will? That's a question that confuses me. I don't know the
Wait,
answer.
As long as we're on that subject, let me just throw out to you what I think, okay? This is what I think, okay? I think that we have free will, but I think that free will is in the choice of what things we're bringing into our life. And I think that free will is pretty much on the table as we plan out each lifetime. And I believe that we choose everything about our lives, where we're going, what we're going to do, who's going to be in it, how we can raise, contrary to, you know, what society would tell us, that life is about growing up, getting married, getting that great job, having those two kids, having that great house, all the nice clothes in the Beamer in the driveway. That's not what life is. That's not the goal of life. The goal of coming in a lifetime is to raise the consciousness of the soul, to gain some wisdom, to grow your soul. And so therefore the experience that we write when we're in spirit have nothing to do with, and some of them can have to do with money, power, success, but also for each person is an individual, so each life path, each reason why they're there is just as individual as the person. Some people don't come for success. They come for other reasons. And so we write that the free will exists prior to coming in. Once we're here, we have energy that we have choices to do what we want to do with that energy. We can either use it, as you said, to the best of your ability, to the most positive outcome, or we can kind of like not take it that far. That's also free will choice. But certain events, I think, are very strongly and undisputably written into our life plan. And that, to me, because of what I do through numerology, I can't tell you how many things I've validated over and over and over. And that's why, to a certain degree, I can predict things because of what I see with the numbers. Because I just know what those numbers mean and I know, you know, what to say. So I think the free will is prior to coming in, not so much when you're here. I think you have choices all day long you can make. But you literally are, the energy that you hold is really what you're going to express. Is that free will choice?
I agree with that. So very closely parallels what I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that we come into this life with kind of a blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, we look in astrology just as you would look in numerology, the way that you use your numerology and really how you progress the life through time. I do the same kind of thing with astrology. And I think, you know, in a very high level, what happens with astrology is we come in and it's like all the planets are in the sky at a certain relationship to each other. They're scattered all over. And we come in, we take like a little digital camera of all those planets. That's our natal chart. But within that, there's an evolutionary pattern, just like a seed for a tree, right? It grows and it evolves over time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that evolutionary pattern is built into the chart, much like I assume it's built into the way you look in numerology.
Sure.
So people have external events at certain, I believe, really predetermined times to help
sure.
them clarify specific energies. So, I mean, the example is if your Saturn and Neptune are 40 degrees apart, I'm going to guess that when you're 40 years old, you're going to have some sort of event that really helps you clarify that Saturn-Neptune energy, and based on where the planets are and what signs and what houses and what other aspects are really kicking in with them, you can build a case as to where that's likely to take place.
Mm-hmm.
The more conscious that people are, the less astrology matters. The less conscious you are, the more predictive astrology is, because people will revert to certain patterns. When you're feeling down, you revert to what's, you know, comfortable or what's...
I like to call it the automatic pilot. I think you're on automatic pilot until you're enlightened somewhat, and then you take a little bit more control of your energy, and you're more conscious about expressing that energy. So I agree with you. But listen, I want to take a little quick break here, only to put out the numbers for calling in, because, you know, one of the reasons why you're here, Andy, is you know, certainly to take some calls and you know, maybe... do some readings. So again, everybody, I'm talking to Andy Brewer, who's the rock and roll psychic, and you know, really, he's an amazing psychic and clairvoyant. And you know, I was talking to Andy before the show, and I said, you know, a lot of psychics and mediums have some specific things that they like when somebody calls into the show. You know, what do you need? What do you want our callers to say? And really, all Andy really wants to do is to connect to your voice and have you talk a little bit. So, if you're interested in calling into the show and getting a reading with Andy, these are the numbers that you can call. You can call toll-free, 888-815-9756. You can also call in on 530-327-7602, 530-776-5185, 530-413-4522. And when you call in, just talk to Andy and, you know, just, you know, maybe tell him what's up, and maybe you're looking for clarification on something, or maybe you want to talk about something, but just let him hear your voice and then he'll take it from there. And so the lines are open, so y'all are welcome to call into the show if you like. And in the meantime, I'm just going to get back to talking to Andy and this rather fascinating. Oh, well, maybe I'm not. I think we have a caller. Who's calling, please?
Hello?
Hello? Hi.
Hi, this is Glenda. I thought somebody was before me. I'm in Maryland. I had my little dog, 16 and a half years old, put to sleep Saturday.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry.
I just need to know, did she know I didn't want to do it? And was it the right time?
Glenda, I think it's important for you to look back at your connection with your child here, right? I mean, you have that kind of relationship, this really tight relationship. And I think that there is no reason. I think we're kind of echoing here a little bit.
Glenda, are you next to your computer, honey?
Yes.
Honey, step away from your computer, okay?
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, try again, Andy.
Thank you.
But I think you should be kind to yourself. I think that you've most likely, the way I see you, and I'm going to assume that Allison's going to say the same thing, I mean, we can tell that you've done everything that you could do. We can tell that you truly care and still care, and that's a kind of a beautiful connection that you have. And I don't think you should second guess what you've done. I think you've done it at an appropriate and really kind of a polite and respectful way. And I think that connection is very significant, and we honor those connections. And it's always sad, you know. My dog Axel, I mean, it was terrible when Axel passed. And I think that you should, you know, you're going to be going through a little sadness, and that's to be expected. And there's not really a shortcut to get through that. But I don't think you should feel bad about anything you've done. I personally don't get a sense that you could have done much more.
Glenda, this is Allison, and I just want to tell you something, okay? Glenda, you're very empathic, and you do feel. And I think what you're connected to right now is picture, just close your eyes for a minute and picture, and you know what your little doggy feels like. You know when you're holding that doggy or petting that doggy or when you're with your dog. Is it Precious Puppy?
Yeah.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
When you're holding that dog has a certain energy. And you feel a certain way, and I think you still feel that around you. And I think where your sadness is coming from is that little baby is right there with you, hasn't left your side for one moment, and you're feeling that energy. And so I think that as time passes, you know, you're going to be able to, you know, walk through this grief that you're feeling. And I want you to remember what it feels like to hold that baby and to cuddle your child. And there are going to be times when you're going to feel that very distinctly in the upcoming future, and you're going to know that that little darling is right there next to you. And you, of all people, know that this beautiful, loving fur baby has gone nowhere. It's still at your side, okay? And that could be why you're feeling so overwhelmed by this as well, because you actually still feel the baby's energy. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, but she knows I love her and that I did it
absolutely.
Because I love her.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And she's, you know, in all honesty, your baby is probably a little bit upset that you're grieving. And
okay.
I think that's, you know, like why? Because the dogs do not perceive death the way we do. They jump in and out of lives so easily. And, you know, you have to understand when a dog is sick and when it's not feeling well, you know, and really has come to the end of its life and there's nothing you can do, you know, the most loving, kindest thing you can do is to allow that transition to be easy and not let that dog continue on being in pain or uncomfortable or unhealthy. You did the right thing, sweetie.
Well, I thank you for that. And I liked what Andy said about not second guess myself. I really needed to hear that, and to know my baby knew I loved her, and I didn't want to do it, but
she still knows you love her.
And I agree with Allison.
I want to thank
you. I mean,
y'all.
I,
Thank you so much for that. I needed it. Thank you. And good night.
Good night, sweetie pie. It'll be okay. Oh.
What a sweet energy.
Yes. Yes, that makes me sad. Okay. All right, let me compose myself. Glenda, honey, it'll be okay. All right, I'm going to say some prayers for Glenda. Everybody say some prayers for Glenda tonight, please. Okay, we have another caller on the line. Who's calling, please?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Allison?
Yes, this is Allison. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Paula.
Hi, Paula. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Well, I'm going to turn you over to Andy. Andy, this is Paula. Paula, this is Andy.
Hi, Andy.
Paula, good evening. How are you?
Good.
How are you?
Good. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Oh, thank you. And what's going on? What would you like to talk about?
Well, you know, you've helped me a lot in terms of focusing on job and career development. And, you know, I've kind of enacted a lot of the things that you said would happen. I did prepare my resume, did go on job interviews, did get offered a job. It didn't pan out only because the salary was less than I make right now. And because I'm house hunting, I really can't make less. But I was just wondering if you can help me now where I am at this juncture to look out ahead. What should I be focusing on? What should I be developing myself on? That kind of thing.
Well, the thing that I see around you right now, you know, a lot of what I do, as you know, and you've seen me in action, is lots of times I try to see the place, right? So we're going to try to go down this path and try to visualize the place. And what I see is a building that's kind of a tall building, a tower-like building. And behind it, it looks like there is like a clump of trees, which is sort of an interesting energy. So let's go this way. I see a building that's 10, 12, 15 stories tall. But immediately behind it, there are a bunch of trees all like really, really tied together. Does that make any sense to you? Do you know a place that would look like that?
I work in a building that's about 15, 18 stories tall.
Does it have a bunch of trees kind of behind it somewhere?
There are some trees behind it, and there's a park right across from it.
All right. Okay, cool. So you're in that building now?
Yes.
All right. Then I'm going to say that the likelihood to me is that you kind of stay put for the time being. So let me ask you this. What I want you to just tell me, like five or six words, what you would like to see happen. I mean, what in terms of your career, because you have a very kind of a managerial kind of vibe to me, project manager kind of vibe to me. What would you like to see happen?
Well, I think what I would like to see happen is that I would like to have a little more direction as to what I'd like to go into, but I do know that I like project managing. I like coordinating projects and seeing things through to delivery. I like coaching people. I like mentoring them to see them succeed. So I'd like to be in a position kind of like supervisor or manager where I could help people develop themselves. And I'd like to be in that teacher almost situation. And I'd like a change of what I do to learn something challenging. You know, what I'm doing right now is very doable, but it's not challenging.
Okay, let me jump in real quick, if I may. Is there a woman that you work with who has kind of a round face, kind of a little bit heavier, but her hair, I don't know if people even perm their hair anymore, but it has kind of what I would consider like a permed vibe and cut short. Cut short that has kind of a permy look to it. I mean that like a permanent kind of perm look to it. But her face is kind of more roundish. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes.
Who is she?
She is kind of a director-level person that works in my area. She has a lot of experience, many years with the company.
And what is her relationship to you?
Initially, I was reporting to her at the very beginning of this 5-year stint I've been on. But now we just sort of talk about things that occur, dynamics, things like that, or sometimes I consult with her as to, you know, how to tackle a situation.
Because I feel that she is, I feel that this image is significant. I feel that this woman, and this is an opinion, but I feel that this image, this woman is significant to what you do. So if I had to make an educated guess as to the way this is likely to go based on these pictures so far, I would say there's a really good chance of you staying where you're at temporarily, and I think it's important for you to look at this woman either as a role model or as a wheel greaser for you to do something different. Now, let me ask you this. Would there be a reason why you would go down one floor in your building?
I don't know. I interviewed for a job a few weeks ago, and I haven't heard back. But they're actually...
Is it a floor down?
No, it's about, like, that job is five floors up. I did want a job that was one, well, two floors down, but that job isn't available yet.
Okay. What I'm saying is I feel like you're going down, like, a floor beneath you. If you go, and again, it's a weird way to look at it, but that's the way I feel. If you went down one floor or two at the most, what would that do for you? Would that be a good thing or a bad thing?
It would be a good thing.
Okay, so here's my prediction. I believe that you're going to stay where you're at. I believe that this woman with the permy hair, with the kind of the round face, is significant, and I see you moving down a floor. I literally think
okay.
It's one floor, but it might be two or three, as, you know, who knows. But, I mean, the image I get is you're going down. And the way I
right.
look at it, if this is even more, is when I look at it, you're going down a floor, but in the part of the building that looks out towards the park or the trees. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
What would that department be?
It's kind of a sister area to what I do right now, and I work with some of the staff in that area. I've asked our vice president if she could just kind of put a good word in for me, because someone left that department, and then she told me that she did talk to the manager there, but they're not ready to post that job, and they don't know if they will post it.
So my prediction is this. I believe that you're going to go to another department that is on a floor beneath the one you're on, and that's what I think. And that's,
okay.
I guess, my prediction, and I think that that's a good thing.
Okay. All right, Paula?
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome,
right.
Paula. Have a good week.
Thanks for calling, Paula.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that was pretty darn amazing, I have to say. As I sit here listening to it, I'm like, where's he going with this? And then as it all started to come very clear, I was like, wow. Okay. Andy, are you still with me?
I'm still here.
Okay, maybe that was her phone. Anyhow, that was really kind of amazing, that reading, because I was like listening to it and I was going with you, you know, and seeing how it all came together. So that was pretty, and you see that in pictures.
I see it like, the way I see it is like, kind of like a movie, or you're looking out the window at something across the street.
Wow.
So what I try to do is I try to be really specific if I can. I mean,
sure.
I try to describe people and say, you know, they've got a scar on their nose or whatever. I mean, I try to be as specific as I can be, but sometimes, you know, it's, the closest analogy I can give is like when you're in a movie theater. Like
mm-hmm.
you go to a movie theater and sometimes they'll start to roll like the previews before they turn the lights down.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of has that kind of, I mean, things are kind of washed out for me. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's difficult for me to be really good with colors because they're kind of faded. Kind
sure.
of a sepia, kind of weird looking thing.
Uh-huh.
But I try to visualize the, you know, some, I mean, not every reading is going to be the same. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
not one size fits all. And so
sure,
what I try to do is look at what I think makes the most sense. Would
sure.
this be a strategic conversation? Well,
mm-hmm.
in this particular case, I thought that she wanted very specific types of information, so I tried to visualize, and I didn't know what I was going to see, so I didn't know what this building, first off, I want to say, I see this building, is there any way in the world you know a building that looks like that? And you go, well, yeah, I'm right in that building now. I go, oh, thank goodness. Okay, so now I go, well, I
yeah,
see this
pretty...
woman. You know what I thought? I'm like, oh, great. That rocks. So you just keep going, you know.
Yeah.
And the more, and the fun, too, is that the more people validate it, it's kind of like a zoom lens. Every time someone says yes, it's like the adrenaline goes, and I see it more detail. Before long, I'm like reading clubs. But, you know, I mean, that's kind of how it works.
That's very cool. Well, we have about, oh, I would say 10 more minutes, so we could probably fit in another reading. So, again, those of you that are listening, I'm talking to Andrew Brewer. He's the rock and roll psychic. He really is kind of an amazing clairvoyant. And he's here and he's doing readings, so you might as well, you know, if you want a reading, you want to see what he's got to say for you, you're more than welcome to call into the show. I'm going to give you the numbers. You can call toll-free, 888-815-9756. You can also call in on 530-327-7602, 530-776-5185, and finally, 530-413-4522. And if you didn't get those numbers written down fast enough, you can just look at the front page of BBS Radio, and those numbers are right there. And we do have a caller, so I'm going to go ahead and take my next caller. Who's calling, please? Hello? Hello, is there somebody there? If there is, you got to speak up. Sort of hear you. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, can you speak up?
Hi, Allison. Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Rosemary.
Hi, Rosemary. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Rosemary?
I apologize, but I'm having a really hard time hearing you.
Yeah, speak up, Rosemary, okay?
Okay, I will.
There we go. That's good.
Okay. All right, Rosemary, talk for a moment with Andrew.
Okay, hi, Andrew.
How are you? Rosemary,
I'm
what would you like to talk about?
I would like to know more about my future, what's in line for me. I just recently finally found a job, but it is as an extra help. And to be honest with you, it's not something that my heart is in it for a long time, but it is a job. It is, you know, just something that I can...
What do you do with the creative... And we're getting that echo.
I can hardly hear you.
Rosemary, can I just say one thing real quick here, honey? If you're standing next to your computer listening to the radio show, you're going to create an echo on where Andrew's trying to hear you. So step away from your computer, and when you're speaking, talk up, okay?
Okay, I will do that.
Okay, thank you.
So my first question is, what do you do with the artistic part of you, with the artist you? How do you integrate that?
Honestly, I don't see any artistic part of myself. I haven't done anything artistically.
Because I see you as a very creative spirit. I see you as having an artist vibe, very strong. So I'm going to ask you, how do you feel the creative part of you? What do you love? What do you like to do? Because to me, you're an artist, however that manifests.
I like dealing with numbers. I don't know if that's art or not, but I really like looking at charts and figuring out numbers. I'm good at that. It's something that comes very easily to me. And
so you're looking at patterns.
Yeah.
So the creative aspect of you, I mean, I was a business analyst, and really a very good business analyst, because I would see patterns very much like I would see patterns when I talk to people. But when I look at you, when I think of you, I see a lot of, I don't know if you've heard this concept of chakras. Have you ever heard this word chakra?
Yeah, I have.
You have a lot of constrictions in your second and third chakras. Okay, so what does that mean in English? To me, it means that there is a lot of sadness in you right now, and I think kind of a confusion within you right now. And I think that, in a way, you're not fully grounded at this point. So that's why I ask you about the creative aspect of you. I think it's important for you to really get in touch with the things that make you feel as if you're doing something worthwhile. Because I don't get a sense that right now you feel like there's a worthiness to what you're doing. It's almost like you're kind of discounting your own energy. Does that make sense to you? Do you follow what I mean by
that? Yeah, that's very true. I mean, you're right about the sadness, very much so.
And, you know, so a lot of this comes back to childhood. So when you see these types of patterns, typically these are indicative of developmental things that happen as a young girl, where a kind of a be seen and not heard, where people are not really looking at you, but trying to get you to conform to what their image is of what a young girl should be. And I don't think that your development was really in sync with who you really are as a person. And so that raises, you know, kind of a little confusion, I think, at this point in your life. That's why I'm asking you, the creative you, the part of you that truly loves things, I don't feel that part of you is really getting its due course. And I think you want to find those things that truly matter to you. And I feel like right now there really is a sadness about you. And I'm rooting for you to kind of get in touch with that real inner core of the happy bone within you, you know?
Yeah. How would I find that? I mean, how would I get in the creative side? Besides numbers, I really don't know what else I like.
Well, that's all right, because I think that there's an aspect of you in terms of interpersonal. I mean, I feel like there's a shyness about you where I really do feel that you're almost, again, my sense of you is a very creative, outgoing young woman who is somehow suppressing that. I would see you as being someone who is somewhat sort of shy, but yet I feel like there is a kind of a passion within you that you don't let out of the bag.
Inhibited is the word.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you are sort of repressing some of those innate. I mean, I see you as a very passionate individual, but I don't feel as if you're acting on those passions. I think you're really keeping yourself very much in check. And at least that's my sense of you. And I think it's important for you to, as much as possible, put yourself in environments that let you express who you are. Because I don't feel that you're doing that right now. Again, I mean, talk to us. Do you follow what I'm saying?
You're very right, but I really don't know how to manage life and go for what I would want to do or be expressive about it. So I'm so worried about my future. And not so much worried, just part of me doesn't even want to see the future.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I feel this sadness in your second and third chakras. And again, I think it comes from a self-esteem, a lack of self-esteem. And I don't mean a lack. I mean that there are restrictions to your self-esteem. And those are messages that have been put into your head that you're still playing out. It's almost as if you're looking out through this prismatic kind of energy. Somebody else has put a lens between you and the outside world, and you see through this lens that's been sort of dropped in front of you. I think it's very important for you to get in touch with what it is from your childhood that is influencing the ways in which you make decisions. Because I think that there is a pattern from childhood that's being played out here, and I feel like perhaps by talking with people and maybe getting people around you to kind of just work it out, I mean, I think that you can begin to get more of a sense of what it is that you really, truly are about and what it is that you really want to do with yourself. Because right now I feel like you're almost working against yourself almost. And I think you have too many good things in you, and I would like to see you to sort of applaud yourself rather than get down on yourself. I mean, I feel like you're kind of being mean to yourself when I think you should be kind of nice to yourself.
You're right, but I don't know how to get out of it. That's the thing. And I don't have a support system to help me either. So it's just, I have to figure it out on my own.
That's the thing.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Rosemary.
Can you tell me you know, about like career-wise, what's going to happen, what are, how things will follow. something that I should look forward to, basically.
Well, I mean, the thing is, in this particular case, I think you really are, wow, it's interesting, I keep hearing myself twice. I think there are foundation level things you have to do first. You're looking to an end state to kind of skip some things in between. And I don't think you can skip those things in between. And I think it's very important for you to really kind of ground yourself and find those people in any way that you can to sort of honor who you are. I believe that right now you're in a kind of a redecorating mode, that you are really on one level in kind of a crisis mode. And I think that if you continue to keep going this way, I believe that you're going to, I think you want to, again, the shorthand answer is this. Right now, this constriction in your lower chakras is influencing your ways in which you make decisions. And I think that anything that you can do that will help you to look at in a very open way what happened to you as a child, I think is to your advantage.
Okay.
And as far as career, go ahead, Alex.
I'm sorry. Listen, Rosemary, as much as I hate to say this, we are basically out of time. So what I would like for you to do, Rosemary, if you don't mind, but you can email me. I would like for you to email me, and you can find my mailing address right there in my information on the show info page. Why don't you give me an email, and maybe we can further this discussion from email, okay, sweetie? But we're just out of time. All right, Rosemary?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. All right.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
And I'm sorry for cutting you short, Andrew. I was totally getting
what you were
saying. Absolutely. And I think you were right on the money and right on the right track. But I'm so sorry that we are out of time. Time flies when you're having fun. So, Andy, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. And I'd just like to tell our listening audience once again to visit rockandrollpsychic.com. That's rocknroll psychic.com. Visit Andy's pages. Look at his services, courses, his tarot decks and his books and all kinds of wonderful things are there on his webpage. Andy, thank you so much. And I'm sorry for cutting you off, dude. I'm really sorry about that.
No. I mean, that's in that particular situation, I mean, it really is about trying to kind of get into a happy space. And sometimes, you know, I tend to err on the side of caution and all these things. So
sure.
I like to take my
time. Well, and I think if you count your blessings and have gratitude for what is right in your life instead of being upset about what isn't quite right, you know, sometimes you just bring more of that in, you know, but I just think that, you know, you're really right on the money with her. You were literally taking some things right out of numerology, so I thought it was really interesting. But we're out of time, Andy, so God bless you. Thanks for coming, honey. Come back and join us again sometime. Really would appreciate
Thank
it, okay?
Much.
All right.
Thank
Bye-bye,
you.
Andy. And for everyone that's listening, we'll be back again next week. I really don't have my guest lineup, so I'm really not sure who's... Oh, yeah, and Allie Cheslick's on, so we got another psychic medium on next week, so it'll be a fun show. All right, everyone, good night, and I wish you all abundant blessings. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.
are the brightest light, but now you've gone away like the wind.